In our business meeting, next we have our consent agenda. The Executive and Planning Committee, as you know, places items on the consent agenda in consideration of council meeting time and to ensure that the work of the council and its advisory committees can be as effective as possible in setting policy and implementing solutions to issues facing our courts and our justice system. As you know, placement on the consent agenda in no way reflects on the significance of the proposal. And prior to any meeting, any council member may request that an item be moved to the discussion agenda. We thank all the committee members and staff, not just those named on the agenda, who spent many hours working on the reports and recommendations and actually getting them to a place where they are at a place after much debate and ironing out of details that it can be on the consent agenda. We appreciate their efforts in improving the administration of justice. Do I hear a motion to move the consent agenda?
I'd make that motion.
Judge Jacobson and second. Judge McCabe and Judge Rosenberg, thank you for the second. Judge McCabe, no discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
So moved. Thank you. This is a non-action item we are convening on. And I'll have our presenters, who you know very well, but you may wish to introduce yourself for purposes of our live captioning and audio listeners. You may proceed. Item C.
So Kurt Sutherland, Court Administrative Officer. So I'm going to report an overall on the budget, and thank God the governor did sign the budget. The reason you see actually four of us that are going to speak to this is because this year this was really a team effort in terms of the support from OGA, Fiscal Services, and the Executive Office. So the highlights that everybody knows about is, thank goodness, there was $63 million added to the base, with $60 million going to the trial courts and $3 million to the courts of review. But we're still suffering from a reduction in the general fund of roughly $472 million. And I would note, in terms of the $3 million that was allocated to the courts of review, there was $500,000 for the Supreme Court, $2.375 for the courts of appeal, and $150,000 for HCRC. The other notable factor here is that there is a new reporting requirement whereby September 1st, trial courts are going to have to submit plans to this body, and then those plans will be transmitted to the legislature in terms of how access to justice will be either maintained or improved. We are currently working on templates to that effect with SEAC and with the PJ's Advisory Committee. In addition to the money that was added to the budget, there were four efficiency measures that were also adopted concerning exemplification of records, use of Social Security numbers, the use of court financial officers' determinations on issues regarding repayments of a parent or guardian. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Zlatko.
Yes, this is Zlatko Theodorovich, Director of Fiscal Services Office. One efficiency that was of particular interest to the trial courts was a $10 DMV administrative lookup. Unfortunately, that was not adopted by the legislature in their package. Some progress was made regarding the trial court audits with respect to the judicial branch contracting manual. There was some issues in terms of how we were interacting with the Bureau of State audits. The budget bill allocates $325,000 out of our trial court trust fund. While no new money was given by establishing this cap of $325,000, it's expected that the BSA should be living within this amount. We did have difficulty getting reasonable costs from them for their work. They also adopted some trailer bill to extend the period of review and reduce the number of courts that we looked at on an annual basis. So there would be an every other year review of only five courts. So there is good progress there, and they limited the scope of the audits so that we can maintain reasonable costs. As been reported, there was a veto by the governor of some language regarding open meetings. We are working on rules for that process going forward and anticipate some level of work on that in our budget meeting coming up on July 9th. There's some other minor trailer bill issues regarding presentation of budgets as required by the trial courts. There was a sunset that was to come on 2017. It is now extended or been eliminated. So the continued openness and public information is preserved through this budget. I think I'll kick it over to Corey in terms of the or Kurt Child in terms of some major construction issues.
So not much changed, or was there much action, actually, in the construction side, the facility side of the budget? What was in the governor's budget in January stayed the same in May and ended up essentially in the budget in that was just signed. The key pieces are, I think, that you're familiar with, is the $200 million redirection this year. That was anticipated by Justice Hill's committee, and they went to work on that. That resulted in 11 projects that were going to be denied for a year. The Long Beach payment, as you recall, that's coming due this year, come September. $35 million this year. It'll jump to about $55 million in full-year costs. That's now a general fund, or not a general fund cost, and so it has to be taken out of 1407 in anticipation of that as well. There were four projects that were indefinitely delayed there. Combined with the $50 million that was redirected in this current budget year, it resulted in seven projects being indefinitely delayed. So the tally now is 11 projects delayed for a year, 11 projects indefinitely delayed. The $90 million loan that was coming due from SB 1407 was not repaid. That's been moved out for two more years before we will see that part of it. On the good news side, there are 10 projects that are moving forward still, and notably the San Diego project that you may have heard something about. In the San Diego project, that's been authorized now for construction. There's $516 million now for the construction of that project. Two other projects that'll be moving into construction. And then the others will either be moving into preliminary plans and working drawings. So a total of about $830 million of projects were included in the budget. So despite the major redirections that have been happening, that $1.7 billion that we've recognized, there's still projects that are moving over the course of the next fiscal year.
Next, we'll be turning our attention to the trial court cash flow issues and the fund balance policy. We were appreciative of the legislature's support, and both houses did adopt a 12% figure, but ultimately in the final budget negotiations, the 1% remained, but there were some statutorily restricted funds that were excluded from the 1%, so we do see some small progress on that issue. The administration had proposed, and the budget does include language regarding a loan process from some branch funds to which the Department of Finance believes will help with cash flow issues when the 1% comes to fruition. The problem that we have is that it's a short-term solution, and so we will be continuing our work with the legislature and the administration on getting further exclusions so we can make that 1% policy something that the branch can manage without disrupting the payments that are necessary to be made by the trial courts.
And I'd like to quickly give you the highlights on the other trailer bill that we were tracking. In addition to the court's trailer bill, there was a public safety trailer bill, which contained four provisions that will impact on the courts, all related to modifications for the criminal justice realignment. And the four changes, there are amendments to expand court jurisdiction to conduct parole revocation proceedings to include the county in which the alleged violation occurred, in addition to the county in which the parolee is supervised. Also, amendment to clarify that a person released on parole or post-release community supervision must remain on that supervision after serving 60 days, even if there is a later determination that the person should have been released to the other category. Language to clarify decertification of mentally disordered offenders clarifies that a parolee has been certified as MDO and required to undergo treatment by the state hospitals is subject to parole supervision, even if later decertified as an MDO by a court. And then finally, there were clarifications made regarding uncertainty about when periods of mandatory supervision commence. So the trailer bill amended that penal code section to specify that period of mandatory supervision commences upon the defendant's release from custody. And those were the four provisions of the public safety trailer bill.
So Judge Earl's Budget Advisory Committee will be meeting on July 9th to discuss the recommendations to the council on the new funding methodology. That will be forthcoming, and then those recommendations will come to this body at its meeting of July 25th. Are there any questions?
Kurt, if I might just cut in for a moment. Thank you very much. The materials were not supposed to be included with this according to the agenda, but actually there is a memorandum that just came out yesterday, and I think each of you has had it handed to you today to ensure that you have it. It summarizes all the points and was, in fact, collaboratively prepared by the presenters.
And Judge Jarre, I would just add that in the memorandum, this was written before we saw the action on the trailer bills, and so it's talks about how the trailer bill, you know, would change this, but that the governor has actually signed that now.
Then thank you, Kurt, Zlotko, and Corey. And as you know, in July at our Judicial Council meeting, we will have more discussion of the budget and where we are in more detail.